Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Yes. You know, this is always in vogue. Like, to me, it's always been a thought that, like, this song's probably from, what, 1991? Something like that. Early 90s, right?
Yeah, but no. 80s. 80s.
This year?
Yeah. I think 80s.
Really?
Yeah, 80s. 80s, baby. Yeah. I was in middle school. I'm pretty sure. This wasn't high school jam. This was middle school jam. This was 80s, I'm telling you.
Is that right?
88, 89.
Released 1990.
Oh, all right. Well, I was wrong.
Got him. All right. But I've always been a believer that like...
Maybe I heard the early edition.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it early.
Yeah.
Down south. We get the tunes early.
Out of the back of a trunk. A-tracks.
Oh, mamas.
That's all mamas. I've always been of the thought that if you released a great classic smash hit in 1990, you could release that same song in 2018 and it would still hit.
Yeah.
You know, Wizard of Oz, they still air it because they know it still moves the needle.
I don't watch it. But I listen to some Vanilla Ice if they redid that one for 2018. You're right on that.
There's been a statement that has been said all across town, television, radio. I know every one of our shows has sort of this statement like this has come up. Well, the Broncos have the talent, and then blankety 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 blank.
Yeah. That,
you know, regardless of what you're talking about. Well, the Broncos, their talent is too good to be blankety 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 blank. Are we sure about that? Are we sure that this isn't, to a certain degree...
Well, I've been one of those guys saying that. So, yeah, I feel pretty sure about that.
Are you sure, to a certain degree, that talent is not a part of the issue here?
Well, now you got me second-guessing myself. I felt good about it when I said it, and I still feel pretty good. I still feel like there's enough talent on this football team, okay, to be winning more games than what they've been winning. Yes, I do. 1,000%.
Because I'm thinking of the Cardinals.
I feel like when I did the show with Mike Evans the one time, and like everything that he said, I was just on guard. Like, he's going to try to reverse this thing and say, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I feel like right now.
Well,
like, you're about to, you know, throw something out there, and I'm like, oh.
I'm learning how to wedge drive from Mike.
Yeah, you're doing
a good
job.
Learn how to just be divisive. How can I divide?
Ooh, scandalous.
If you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, and you're looking at your roster, this is the NFL. Every team's got talent.
Yes.
If I'm doing sports talk in Phoenix, I'm going, hey, how is it this bad? We got Patrick Peterson. We got Chandler Jones. We got Larry Fitzgerald. We got David Johnson. This isn't a 1-5 football team. We got too much talent to be a 1-5 football team. This is truth knocking here, because
I don't know about that. If you're in Arizona, if you say that, I really don't. I don't because you got a rookie quarterback, right? You got a new head coach, so you got to look at all those other pieces. You traded away your right tackle, so you realize. I think they realize they're a couple years away from being a contender. Yeah, you're right. Every team has some good players, but Arizona just doesn't have enough of them.
Are those the four best players that play for the Arizona Cardinals?
I'll give it to me again. I wasn't really paying attention. I was actually looking at this updated depth chart by ESPN.com. I think they listened to us, and it looks so much better, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Whose team were you looking at?
The Denver Broncos.
Ah, they did change it.
You see? They changed it up.
They did.
They listened to us.
It was bad before.
It was awful.
Like, in a sense where it was bad.
Like, you couldn't even
but
see.
But it was outdated as well.
Right, like, you couldn't even see, players. Like, the fourth string guy. They might still have, it still might be outdated, but I don't think so.
No.
I think it's up to date. But you couldn't even see the fourth string guys.
Yep.
You know, like, wide receivers, you got more than three. So
right,
you got to
right.
extend it. They've done that. Good job, ESPN.com. Give me
four best Cardinal players.
Larry,
just off
Chandler.
Off the top, Chandler Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson,
yep.
David Johnson.
Yes,
sound fair, right?
Yes.
Who are the four best Broncos players that we have?
Okay,
at any position.
You ready for this?
Yep.
Manuel Sanders, Von Miller, Chris Harris. One second.
That's where it gets interesting.
One second.
And that's why I wanted to ask the question.
Garrett Bowles.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Marquette King's gone, by the way, so you can't pick him anymore.
Right, I can't pick him anymore. I'm going with, Philip Lindsay?
Isn't that scary? That you just said an undrafted rookie who's played six games, well, call it five and a half for Philip. Them rabbit punches.
I mean, look, everybody, I mean, doesn't... You get one in your life, an ejection, right?
Sure.
You don't have to hold it over his head his whole the rest of his career and his life.
No, I just was about to say he's played six games, but he's actually played five and a half.
You can give him six. Just say six. But move on.
But think about that. Kidding aside, who's the Broncos' fourth best player?
I mean, is it DT? Matt Paradis. That's what I would go with. Any disagreement there? But it took me a while to get there.
I can't give you any real pushback on Paradis, which I think is partly an issue, to be totally honest with you. I think that's partly an issue. You know, is it Derek Wolfe?
He's having a good, solid year.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah.
Is it Justin Simmons? I think I want a little bit more from Justin Simmons at this point.
I'm glad you said that. Yes, I'm the same way. Need a little bit more. Need it, you know, the expectations have been there. You played solid football, but now it's time to take that step forward and start playing really good, consistent football, making big, impactful plays. That's what separates you from being just an average, good player to being one of those, you know, really good players is, you know, are you making some game-changing plays? Are you making an interception? Are you causing fumbles? We just don't see that from many of our defenders anymore.
I don't think Matt Paradis is the fourth best player on this football team.
Oh, wow. You just said you couldn't give me much pushback, and now
no,
you are.
No, I mean, you ever seen a cartoon where the light bulb goes boop?
Yeah, I think I see that over you all the time, like, you know, just out of the blue. There goes the light bulb.
And I'll tell you why it just went off next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest for more details.
We were just having a conversation on who the fourth best Bronco is. It's kind of a fun one. And you said the fourth best Denver Bronco was Matt Paradis.
Yeah.
You gotta turn your mic on to do radio.
Dog it. I don't think anything aggravates me more than when I get caught slipping like that. And I know it. I was like, oh, didn't turn the darn thing on. Here goes Zach's going to call me out on it. Like, can you give me, like, just one every week where you don't call me out on it? Sometimes you do.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think you feel bad for me. Like,
it's
maybe
Wednesday.
The rest
I already let the first one.
I got you.
The first one fly.
I think it's like the rest with Garrett Bowles in the holding. Like, we can't throw it every time on this guy. Poor guy. Right? I mean, just cut me some slack here, okay?
Yes, sorry.
All right. Give me one a week. One and a half.
Okay.
You
get one a week here.
One a week. All right, I'll take one a week. Is it DT? Could it be? Look, I'll give you the list, okay? I'm going to give you the list. Could it be DT? Could it be Philip Lindsay? Could it be
You know, my choice was Matt Paradis for number four. You had Von Miller, you have Chris Harris, and you have Emmanuel Sanders.
Those are the unequivocal three. We agree on that.
And it's a shame that we can't put Case Keenum in there.
I know.
You know, that's a shame that we're sitting here today and he's not even in consideration. Nobody would put him in the top four. Nobody.
Yep, I agree.
You know, is it Wolf? You know, Pecco? No. Gotsis? No. That's really where we're at. That's it.
You haven't said my guy yet.
Well,
Steven, hit his music. You know whose music this is?
The Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No.
The Rock.
No.
Oh, I thought it had to do with wrestling.
It does. This is Mr. Perfect's music.
Oh, Mr. Perfect.
There's one guy on this team that's been perfect, and that's Brandon McManus.
Oh, come on, stop it.
I'm just letting you know.
Are you kidding me?
He's going to be a Pro Bowler. I'm just letting you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how many field goals is he? He hadn't kicked enough field goals to be a Pro Bowler. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're perfect, if you're only, you know, 6 for 6. I mean, it's not good enough. You got to kick a lot more field. How many field goals has he kicked? Do you have his stats? I mean, what?
You don't, how does ESPN not have 2018 stats up for Brandon McManus?
Wow.
That is rude.
That is rude. That is rude. Yeah, it is.
Brandon McManus has been a model of consistency.
No, yes. Yes.
That is from training camp forward. He never missed a kick in training camp, didn't miss a kick in preseason, and hasn't missed a kick in the regular season. Do I want to put Brandon McManus as the fourth best Bronco? No. But that guy has done his job just about as good as anyone was asked to do their job so far this year.
You're correct. And he made a, what was it, the game-winning field goal against the Raiders?
Correct.
Okay, so he's made a big kick for you. He's made all of his kicks. I can't put him at four. I love McManus. He's been great, but he's not going to four. Kickers are not at four unless you're Adam Vinatieri.
Right. He's 10 for 10 this year.
Ooh, that's a little bit more than I thought.
10 for 10.
That's he's been great. Look, he's been great, but I'm sorry to the kickers out there. I'm not putting the kicker in my top four.
Well, I'll just say this. I'm sort of saying this in jest. You know, I'm halfway joking.
Yeah, I got you.
As an illustration,
I wasn't quite sure on that. But.
The fact that you can actually make an argument for it is why I did it. Because we should be getting more. We should be getting more. I shouldn't be able to make an argument that Brandon McManus is the fourth best Bronco so far this year. And by the way, if you're just joining us, the reason that we got into this conversation is because I said, you know, I hear a lot of the same statement around town and on the station. There's too much talent on this team to be here. There's too much talent on the team to blank, blank, fill in the blank. And are we sure? Every NFL team's talented. And I just want to know if this team, as it's currently constructed, is still riding the coattails of what they've done.
I don't think so. I look at it, and I'm still sticking with the too much talent.
Too much talent to be 2-4.
Yes. Derek Wolfe, Pecco Sr., Gotsis. I mean, these aren't superstars. You know, like when you talk about superstars, yeah, the Broncos, look, 3-4 guys. But when you talk about really good players, they have a ton of them. I mean, this defensive front that I expected to be pressuring quarterbacks all day, every day, has way underperformed in that category. I don't know why. They're still really talented. I mean, where is Shelby Harris? Where is Zach Kerr? Where are these guys, these interior guys that I had high expectations for them?
The milk carton kids.
Yes. I just haven't seen it. And then, you know, secondary-wise, you know, Bradley Roby, obviously very inconsistent. We haven't generated the turnovers that we need to generate. And offensive, you look at the offense, look, the running game has been a lot better than what I thought at this point. So you look at your two running backs, and you're like, wow, those guys are looking the part. Those are really good football players. It's a good 1-2 punch for two rookies. And then you look at these wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders is a stud. And then you look at what DT, he's having a solid year, by the way. Kind of under the radar. He had that one game where the Raiders game. And had some crucial drops in that game. Right? But besides that, he's been solid.
He has been.
I mean, he hasn't been special, but he's been solid. He certainly hasn't been the reason why we're on a four-game losing streak here.
And then
you look at the youngsters behind them. You got good talent on this football team. So I'm not backing down from that statement.
Are the four best Broncos better than the four best Cardinals of Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, and David Johnson?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
If you're scared, say you're scared.
Never scared. Me and T-Pain.
No, not those T-Pain. Bone crusher.
I didn't know. I just threw one out there. Just first one came to mind.
Come back with that next break.
Yep. Love that. Who's is better? Who's top four is better? Broncos, Emmanuel, Vaughn, Chris Harris, and Matt Paradis. You got Larry, who's on the tail end of his career, right? I mean, this is it for him.
Larry
one
Fitzgerald.
More year.
Yep.
Yeah. One more year for him. Patrick Peterson still in his prime, dominating out there. Chandler Jones, really good at getting after the quarterback. David Johnson, he hasn't had the type of year that we've been seeing from him. You know, last year he was hurt. He got paid. But obviously, your offensive line in Arizona is not what it needs to be. And then you got a rookie quarterback. Who am I taking? Got Vaughn.
Is he the tiebreaker?
Chris Harris. Give me Chandler Jones' stats.
Chandler Jones is top 10 in the NFL right now in sacks. He's got 5.5 sacks. I know it's not all about, just sacks. But Chandler Jones right now is tied with Von Miller with 5.5 sacks, good for 5th in the National Football League. He's got more yards for a loss. Von Miller has 2 forced fumbles. Chandler Jones has 3 forced fumbles. Chandler Jones has more total tackles.
Who would you rather have, Chandler Jones or Von Miller?
Von Miller.
Okay, who would you rather have, Chris Harris or Patrick Peterson?
Patrick Peterson.
Right. Emmanuel or Larry?
Emmanuel.
David Johnson or Matt Paradis?
David Johnson.
2-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
2-2.
The tiebreaker goes to the Hall of Famer. In his prime, Von Miller.
Oh, I was going to say, they got some Hall of Famers over there, too. I mean, Patrick Peterson's not a Hall of Famer?
He's on that track.
Right.
Larry Fitzgerald is going to do a cartwheel and a backflip into Canton.
Right. Cabbage patch.
So are you going to answer the question?
Oh, I thought we just answered it together.
Who would you rather have? Who's the better top four?
Give me Arizona. You know, the tiebreaker for me is a center or a dynamic running back. And you got Patrick Peterson, who is a complete lockdown corner, and he's playing at a very, very high level. Chandler Jones, Von Miller. Look, Von's a better player, but they're very, very close.
Very close.
Very, very close. Larry's on his way out.
And if you want to keep on going, like, they have their Cortland Sutton and Christian Kirk.
I like Cortland better than Christian Kirk, but yes, he's playing, and he's playing well for a rookie kid out of Texas A&M. Wide receiver.
Interesting conversation. When you talk about who's at the top, who are the guys that we're expecting to produce the most? Very interesting conversation.
They have hope.
Because they have Josh Rosen.
Yep. Broncos don't have that type of hope. And that's depressing, is what that is. There you go.
Can the Broncos stop the bleeding, or will the streak continue? It's too good. This was like, I don't know how old I was, but it was a long time ago. This is probably 15 years old now. Something like that. Let that beat drop. Hold on. Thank you. We got Sandy Clough in the house, and saw you going through the hallways. Figured we'd pull you in here, Sandy. I went into the break saying, can the Broncos stop the bleeding or will this streak continue? They're already the first team in the history of the sport. It just sounds so crazy as this statement falls out of my mouth. They've been playing pro football, you know, 16 times a Sunday for decades and decades and decades. Never has a team given up back-to-back 200-yard rushers. And the last time a team gave up back-to-back 250-yard games, it's been 7 years. The Tampa Bay Bucs in 2011, the last team that did that. Is this the week? I mean, yeah,
and they've given up a lot more than 250 yards rushing in each of the last two games.
Right.
323 and 270.
Right. Equals
almost 600 yards.
Right.
Almost 600 yards rushing alone. They're playing a team this week that has averaged rushing and passing 221 yards a game.
Is that right?
That's right.
Wow. Wow.
Needless to say, last in the league.
Sure. Sure.
And I think the 31st in points, Buffalo scored fewer points. But no team has averaged fewer yards per game. And you're talking about a team that's given up, as you said, 323 and 270 the last 2 weeks on rushing yards alone. Forget about passing yards, and we all know there have been big passing plays executed against them as well. It's astonishing. When I heard the other day about the rushing stat, I said, wait a minute. In the history of the franchise, maybe. And I said, no, history of the league, no one's ever given up 200 yards rushing to two different backs consecutive weeks.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Sandy, looking at the game tomorrow night, your thoughts on job security for coaches, for the head coach, Van Joseph, for coordinators,
the quarterback,
Case Keenum. What are your thoughts if the Broncos go out there and don't get the job done?
I think anything and everything is possible. I would assume that as long as Vance Joseph is the head coach, Case Keenum will be the starting quarterback. Vance Joseph knows his job is hanging by a thread. He's not going to go to Chad Kelly. The fans can scream all they want. We can talk about, and a number of our hosts have said, and we talked to Orlando every Tuesday night. Had him on last night. He said it's time to move on from Case Keenum. I know Al feels that way. You, to a certain extent, are heading in that direction.
I think I'm driving that bus.
Yeah. And so I think if they were to lose, my question would be, if you can't beat these guys, who are you going to beat? These are the proverbial 98-pound weaklings on the beach. And we were talking to Sean Salisbury earlier, and I thought what Vaughn said yesterday was fine, but why wouldn't you say that before the Jets game or before the Baltimore game? They were 2-0 at the time, but before the Jets game anyway. Or even before last week, you know, the Jets pushed us around. I don't care who we're playing on Sunday, whether it's the best team in the league or the worst team in the league, we're not going to get pushed around again. And I'm thinking, where has that vocal leadership been on offense or defense in the last few weeks? And I asked Keenum yesterday, with Leary out and with Valdir presumably out for another week, those are two veterans who have been around winning teams before. Are you obliged to maybe lead in a more vocal, demonstrative way this week with those two guys out? And he kind of made reference to maybe talking a little more. But I look at even the defense now, it's been stripped of any form of real vocal, demonstrative leadership. And maybe what Vaughn says will do some good, but You're picking on a team that isn't any good. So what right. if you beat them? And if you can't beat them, who else on the rest of the schedule are you likely to beat at home or on the road?
Not many. But I think Vaughn, you know, said it because he realizes that they're on the brink of destruction. They're on that line right now. If they lose this game, it's over. Yeah. It's a wrap. So you know what? They weren't in that situation against the Jets. So now's the best time for me to speak out and make this and make this statement right now, because I realize if we don't get it done now, if I don't get this group confident and go out there and get this win, it's over. This thing is going to head in the wrong direction like it did last year.
He was asking, he was being asked all kinds of different questions, and I think Vaughn finally decided, hey, I'm tired of asking questions or being asked questions about stats, about schemes, about coaches, about game plans. I don't care what any of that happens to look like this week. We just have to develop this attitude. We're just going to go out and beat them up. Sandy, get into a street fight and beat them up.
Before we let you go here, I have the Nuggets at 49 wins. Stokely has the Nuggets at 50 wins. Where are you at with a preseason win total? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I know you think about things like this.
I would go with maybe 51 only because Michael Malone admitted that in the Western Conference this year, 50 wins might do him as much good as 46 wins did last year, which is no good whatsoever. It didn't qualify for the playoffs last year. He thinks you might need to win more than 50 to qualify this year. So I'll go 51-31. And I know it's the first game, and whether they win or lose, I would still come back tomorrow and say the expectation for the number of wins is the same. But this is a fascinating opener. Road game against a team they should beat. And over the weekend, they've got an interesting three-game set. They've got Phoenix, they've got Golden State, and they've got Sacramento. So winning this one on the road, maybe you're starting 4-0. I know this. They need a fast start. Playing 500 ball in December will not cut it. And you think Vance Joseph is on the hot seat. If the Nuggets are playing in December and January at a 500 pace, Michael Malone could be in trouble during the season.
All right, Sandy.
I don't think he will be, though. I don't think he will be. I get a better feeling about this team. And it really is playoffs or bust this year.
It's playoffs or bust. It's that simple. I'm sure I'll see you over there. I'll be there this weekend. Can't wait for it. Waited a long time for it.
I'll certainly be there for Golden State.
Oh, as will I, my friend.
Who they beat more often than
I know. We mentioned that. Really good stuff. Sandy, appreciate your time. Always great talking to the great Sandy Clough. Stoke, is there a factor tomorrow night that we have not yet touched on? And it's big. It's real big. I'll tell you exactly what it is next. And when I say it's a big factor, I'm talking nationwide big, Stoke. We live in a pretty big country. It's one of the biggest countries in the world, actually. And the number one sport, what are you grinning at me for?
No, I mean, just going deep here. Just keep going. I mean,
so it's one of the biggest countries in the world.
Big country, pretty big country, one of the biggest countries in the world.
I want to start quizzing you on population.
Nah, let's not go there. Let's not do that. It'll make me uncomfortable.
I won't bounce off your capitals and states. All right. I won't bounce off.
I used to have that down in middle school. We had to learn all the capitals and states, and we had to learn the parish seat, which is what it was down in, you know, Louisiana.
That's right.
So I knew it all, but not anymore, obviously.
I used to know them all, the state nicknames.
Oh,
like state, like
that's pretty good.
Colorado's the centennial state because it was became a state 100 years after America became a state. Oregon's a beaver state, it's a big beaver trapping.
America became a country.
What's that? America became a country, I mean. 1776, Colorado, 1876.
All right, let's move on. Let's just move on. That's best for everybody.
Okay. When we talk about a big factor, and I brought up the country because...
Do you know what Louisiana is?
Do I know what Louisiana... Yeah, it's a state.
No, what's the nickname?
The Bayou State.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think it's the Pelican State.
Oh, the Pelican State. Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
Pelican State.
Good. All right. I mean, that's my state, so I gotta get that one right. All right, now it's time to move on.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks, Brands.
Where is my guy at?
River Craycraft?
Yeah.
I think he's on practice squad.
Is he still in the practice squad?
I think he still is on the practice squad.
Hopefully so. That's my guy.
Thanks, Brands. So good. All right. When we talk about national TV. It's a factor that we really haven't discussed, and it's one that I think in this time and place where we're at in this Broncos season is actually a factor in a sense that the world will be watching, okay? The world will be watching. Does the fact that everyone will be watching on Fox increase the likelihood that if something were to go awry, that John would feel the need to more respond because it's on the stage and you're the only one that's sharing it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that plays a part in it. What are the announcers going to be talking about? Two bad football teams. Broncos have lost four in a row. Vance Joseph's, you know, fighting for his job. So are a lot of other people. They'll bring up the record over the last 2 years. They'll bring up lack of, you know, John drafting the quarterback. So all that stuff will be highlighted. And then if you go out and you lose to a bad Arizona Cardinals team that also they're talking about as being a bad football team and they're fighting for their job and Mike McCoy was offensive coordinator from the Broncos last year and he got fired and he might get fired at any day now in Arizona. They're starting a rookie quarterback and you lose to that team. Yes. It's highlighted that much more, and the embarrassment is that much more. You're the only game on. You can't hide. People can't turn the channel. If they want to watch football, they're going to watch that game. So you'll have most of the country tuning in.
And the narrative in the broadcast, and you hit on it, the narrative in the broadcast is the loser going to lose his job?
Yes.
You know, it feels like a death match between Steve Wilkes. First-time head coach.
Well, I don't think Steve. Yeah, well, I don't think he's
got more luxury.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, maybe Mike McCoy. You fire a coordinator just like Vance last year. I mean, it was bad last year. Remember that?
I didn't forget.
Well, Vance wasn't going to get fired in the season. Now they might fire Steve Wilkes at the end of the season. They're not going to fire him. You just hired the guy.
That's true.
Right?
Vance almost got fired after he just got hired.
After the season.
That's true.
Not in the middle of the season.
Even
so
an eight-game losing streak couldn't make that happen.
Right, exactly. So I think he's safe for the year, but, you know, coordinators get fired.
How poetic would it be if the Broncos picked up a win and Mike McCoy got fired after a Broncos loss the year after getting canned for being the OC of that team? That's poetic.
They lost me a little bit there. There was a lot of back and forth.
Well, he was here last year. Got fired during the season. He's there.
But the way you phrased it.
Fired during
the way you phrased it just kind of threw me. You know, I got you. I think. Maybe not.
How much of that, and I'm seeing on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, from a handful of people this afternoon, that Arizona is Broncos country. That there's going to be a large contingent of Broncos fans there tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've seen that on the RamosLaw.com text line also. I mean, obviously it's a quick flight. You got a lot of people that make their winter home there, snowbirds, and they've already made that trip. And so, yes, you do have a big contingent of Broncos fans there.
Is it less of a disadvantage for the Broncos, because I know it's a short week and you got to travel, but you're not traveling to New York to play on Thursday. You're not traveling to Buffalo or Miami to play on Thursday night. You're traveling to play the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think that helps. It's a quick flight.
What's that flight?
Couple hours.
2 hours, right?
Yeah. Everything's two hours. Like, what's the flight to Houston? 2 hours. Like, right around two. Right around two. Anything that's kind of close, right around two. Can't go wrong saying that. Okay? Just telling you. Right around two.
All right.
But you know what else that helps the Broncos out is Arizona stinks. You think that place is going to be packed? You think it's going to be rocking? You know, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the case. So you can take that crowd out of it quickly if you're the Denver Broncos. You really can. So that also is a plus in this situation. Playing a bad football team. They're ready to turn on the Cardinals, just like the Broncos country is ready to turn on the Broncos. And Broncos players are hearing boos, right? I mean, you can complain all you want. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, you can say that, you know, you don't like to see them or hear them booing Case Keenum, but guess what? They pay good money. If you're not performing at a high level, if you're not getting the job done, you're going to get booed. I've been booed before. My team's been booed before. It's just part of it, right? You got to stick up for your guy like Emmanuel Sanders did, but at the same time, You know, if you don't like it, then go perform at a higher level. Play better.
If you want to hear boos, if you want to hear boos, lose this football game. If you want to hear boos, lose this football team to a 1-5 Arizona Cardinals team, travel to Kansas City that following week. You want to hear boos? Be at Mile High on Sunday, November 4th against the Houston Texans.
How many no-shows?
15,000.
I did the show with John Davis on Friday, and he was talking about when he knew that Josh McDaniels was going to get fired. I think it was against the Rams maybe that year they played at home, and he said there was like 30,000 no-shows. So you're thinking 15-ish?
I think it's right there. You know what?
How many for last game?
They said 9,000, like 31. I said it then and I said now, I don't think that was the number. I think it was probably between 10 and 12,000. By saying 15, because I may be on the low end, because if you lose those two games, that's a 6-game losing streak with a dead man walking. If he's, and he wouldn't even be the coach by that point. I don't believe there'd be a scenario where you could lose 6 games in a row and still be the coach to return home.
Do you see this twinkle?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Do you get a hydrofacial on your way in?
What are you talking about? No, I did not. It's been a year or so. I need to do it again.
You got
to
get back in there.
Yes, yes. My great friends at Woodhouse Day Spa over there in South Glen, I will revisit them really soon. It's awesome. I haven't done it in it's been about a year, so it's time. It's time. No, the twinkle in my eye, not on my skin.
Oh, I thought you had a glow.
I do have a glow because of this twinkle. And the twinkle is because, you know what? Say you lose. Okay, lose. Lose two.
Sure.
Right, you lost 6 in a row. You want to get people to show up? You know how you do that? Do you know how you get people in the stands for that game? And me included, because, you know, weather, I could care less about the weather, but do you know how you get them in the stands?
Make Alfred the head coach.
Just rip it. It's the league. Just rip it. Yes, you could get people to say something out from the head coach. Come on, man. Stay with me here.
How could you? Oh, wait. You said how could you?
Pack the house. How could you make sure the house was packed?
Start Chad Kelly.
Bada, bada, bing. There you go. And I don't care. Like I said, look. It doesn't matter the weather conditions out there, you know, because you don't know. I mean, you could have another episode like you had against the Rams where it's really cold. People aren't going to want to go to a bad football team. Swag. Watch a bad football team play. But all of a sudden you say, hey, we're starting Chad Kelly this week. I guarantee you the place is packed because they want to see Chad Kelly.
There you go.
That's interesting.
There you go.
And who's the coach that's making that decision?
Well, that's another conversation. It won't be Vance. If you lose this week and next week, I don't see any chance possible that he's the coach that, well, you got a bye after that. So you might just say we're going to hold on until after the bye, until after the Houston game and we have a bye to make this type of move. So maybe he's able to survive 1 week. And
here's what could happen. You make a move. You make someone your interim head coach. Let's just say, just spitball
okay,
here.
Okay, let me give you an interim head coach. I'm going to go with Bill Kolar.
You're going to go Bill Kolar? Okay.
Yeah, we'll just throw Bill Kolar's name out there. Which one was in training camp that was dropping the F-bomb every other word?
Reggie Herring.
Yeah, let's go Reggie. Let's just have some fun with Reggie here. You either got this guy or that guy.
And he wasn't not, saying this yeah, guy or that
not
guy.
Not that hard. You got the easiest job.
No, okay, so Reggie, I need you to swing by my office.
Who are you? You're John?
I'm John.
Oh, okay.
Reg, are you okay with being the interim head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Abso-blank-blank-blank-lutely.
Here's one little built-in caveat, Reg.
Okay.
You okay with starting Chad Kelly?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I got no problem with that.
I'll see you out there on Sunday.
Okay, let's go. Thank you, John.
What's up with that Denver snapshot?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/business contest for more details.